Thanks, Estelle. It's so kind from you. So, no need to present myself again. So, I'm Stefan. I come from Cameroon, Central Africa. I come from the French part of Cameroon. So, Cameroon is like Canada, French-speaking part and an English-speaking part. But it's a bit opposite. So, the French-speaking part is larger. And Canada is the opposite, the English part is larger. So I come from the 80% French-speaking part of Cameroon. And in 2010, I got the opportunity to travel to ICTP, which is a center dedicated to young scientists coming from the developing world. A center that was established by a Nobel Prize laureate, Abdus Salam. And then the vocation of this center is to select students from the developing world, bring them in Trieste in Italy to kind of update them so that they should fit into excellence programs, PhD programs around the world, so that they should be able to join science paradise like PI, Max Planck, and whatsoever. So in 2011, after 1 year at ICTP, I went to Düsseldorf in Germany to carry PhD research on ion protections against corrosion. So I was at Max Planck Institute for Ion Research, where I was doing research on the interaction between zinc oxide and water, because zinc is the material that we use to protect ion against corrosion. So the first thing that one has to understand is how the protective zinc layer interacts with water to have a clue about how the corrosion process has to be stabilized. So after that, I joined one of the youngest universities in Germany, the Duisburg-Essen University, 20 years old that we celebrated 2 weeks ago, because I thought that it was a young university, open-minded, as you can see from the motto, to work on a project that I thought was aligning with the local needs from where I was coming from Cameroon. So energy, sun, how to produce hydrogen energy from water using sunlight, using heterogeneous catalysis. This is actually earth abundant material. As you see from the first figure that I shot down here, I come from a place that is rich in bauxite. Bauxite is the ore of aluminum. We have many other materials in the regions with good potential application in technology. So these were the reasons that I have behind and the reason that drove my scientific odyssey. And then during this odyssey, and after traveling all around the world, I noticed that there was a problem. There was a serious lack of scientific culture from where I was coming from. And I tried to understand, why do we have this scientific lack in developing countries, particularly in Africa? And then I started to dig out. And then I saw that, as everybody here may know, that there is a clear correlation between how much we invest into science, the scientific development, technological progress, and also social development. And then all these are related. You can see from the distribution of the gross domestic product in the world. The more you put money into basic science or science in general, the better the society behaves. And then I try to ask myself, why is Africa so late? One of the reasons is historical. It was in Lagos 43 years ago. So there was a big meeting between brilliant scientists from the continent, economists, politicians, all of them, they gathered in Lagos in Nigeria to decide what should we do so that we achieve a science-driven development. So how can we do science that fits technology, technology that fits innovation and social progress? And then there was the so-called Lagos Plan. And then one of the prescriptions of this plan was that after this meeting that was, subjected to the appreciation of all the head of government and states, it was about dedicating 1% of the gross domestic product to science, to all African countries. And then you can see that this prescription was never adopted because there are so many problems. Africa is driven by the urgent need to innovate, to solve immediate problems. People are hungry, there are wars, political instabilities, and so on and so forth. So only few countries could follow this plan. And then two countries in Africa, South Africa and Egypt, as you can see from the distribution, somewhere around 0.5% on the x-axis. South Africa and Egypt are the one dedicating 0.5 to 0.7% of the gross domestic product to science. And then you can see why the 1% contribution of Africa to the research, to the world research, is coming from these two parts of the continent. So the contribution of Africa is polarized. So you have contribution from the very south, the very north. And then the very north is Egypt that takes the lead. This is why we got the Nobel Prize. The only Nobel Prize in science coming from Africa comes from Egypt. Professor Zewel, who passed away some years ago. And you see also that these countries, if you look at the density of scientists per million inhabitant in Africa, it's only 200 per million inhabitant, compared to an average of almost 1,500 in the world. So there is a lot to do there. We should create vocation. We should do good decision making. And then we should try to strengthen the scientific culture, because, I mean, this situation doesn't mean that we don't have African scientists doing good science in the world. There are many of them. There are some of them here. The question is, what is missing between these excellent scientists that are distributed all around the world and people making decisions back there? And then this missing energy, piece of energy, is the scientific culture. This is the energy that should connect people so that we have science that drives technology, economy, and social progress. So I thought that every scientist coming from Africa should contribute somehow to building a stronger scientific culture on the continent. Because making the world, making a better place to live for all humans, not only Africa, right, is one of the conditions is to make this place of the world, this part of the world, sorry, Africa, a better place to live. Because if this place is not healthy, you know the consequences. You see people flying or flooding, traveling to Europe all the time, dying in the sea, it's because they are looking for better condition, right? But if you make that place better, it's also good for everybody. So, actually, this is why I joined science communication, because science communication is what drives the interaction between the different components of the society, right? There are three types of interaction level to promote science communication and consequently the scientific culture. So science communication for me is the driving vector, right, of the scientific culture development. You see, these are the three types of interaction that one can define. There's first an interaction among scientists themselves. Many scientists look at science communication very snobbishly. They don't see the importance. And then science communication is not rewarded in many academic settings. If you do it, people look at you like a non-serious scientist, right? Good scientists are people who have 200 papers, 10,000 citations, H index of 100, then you are the top guy, even if you don't care about what's happening on the street when you are going back home. But this is not how life should be. So the interaction origin between scientists is complicated. But the interaction constant is smoother than with other components of the society, because it's easy to convince some scientists to join, I mean, a bigger community of scientists, communicators, and engagers. So we have to grow the network of scientists by promoting communicators and engagers. Once we have a strong platform among scientists, we can interact stronger with decision makers, right? You see, sometimes the decisional sphere is sometimes very icy. To convince people there is not always easy, particularly in developing countries. You cannot come to a decision maker and tell him that I want money for science when people are dying, when people are dying in hospitals. It's really complicated. So it's dynamic, but it's not harmonic, right? So to find the interaction potential is sometimes not so easy. And the third level of interaction is with the general public. One needs to go very smoothly, right, to find a good recipe to diffuse science in the general public, because it is in the general public, particularly in non-scientific communities, that lies the potential to change the society, because they are usually larger communities than scientific communities. we saw during COVID, right, how diffusing the scientific truth was a real problem. So we should be at all these three fronts at the same time to make things better. So what do we do in Africa to build a good interaction among scientists? Some years ago, the question did not arose from scientists from Africa themselves, from physicists. It arose from, societies like the European Physical Society, the United Kingdom Institute of Physics, the American Physical Society. At a certain point in 2018, they asked themselves, where are African scientists? What are they doing? Who are they? Nobody had a clue. They were used to see people, some brilliant Africans, from time to time to conferences, but nobody had a clue about how is science, particularly physics, organized on the continent. And then they decided to carry on a survey that was headed by the American Physical Society. So they wrote to institution, National Physical Society in Africa, and asked, what do you think we can do so that to foster the interaction between African physicists? And then one of the major recommendation from African scientists themselves was to create a vehicle of information among scientists. This is how the African Physics Newsletter was created. And then this newsletter is open to everybody who does science with Africans or in Africa or any subject of relevance to Africa. And then how is it run? We have an advisory board in which you can find non-African scientists, people who have experience, who have been working, developing programs in Africa. There are many all over the world. We have an editor-in-chief. I was appointed at this position 2 years ago after serving for 2 years as editor for Central Africa. We have 10 regional editors in the 5 regions as defined by the African Union. So Center, East, West, and so on and so forth. And recently we started introducing junior editors to prepare them, to teach them how to communicate, to write science writing so that tomorrow they take over. So that this African newsletter should not only be something about a dedicated group of African physicists, but an institution that runs independently of who is at the helm of the institution. So the regional editor usually, they have to hunt articles. They have to, because in a normal journal, what is happening is that editor usually receive unsolicited articles. But for the newsletter, you have to look for people, for event, to gather them, and then send it to the editor-in-chief. And the APS is doing a great job by hosting the newsletter, copy editing, formatting, and distributing it. I think the 20th issue, or the 90th issue will be out today. So you can subscribe to the newsletter here to see about what is the physics life on the continent. And then for more information, I was recently interviewed by Nature Review Physics, so I try to summarize all what we are doing. So what are we publishing there? We publish events about capacity building. Some of the events include the African School of Physics. It's about high energy physics in Africa. It's a periodic event happening every 2 years in different locations. Same as the ASESMA, which is an event about capacity building in condensed matter computational physics, also happening every 2 years. And then we also promote successful regional networks among scientists, physicists in Africa, like the CEPAMOC, which is actually a center for molecular physics located in Cameroon, but which goal is to train people in the Central African region on atomic and molecular physics. So it was created some 15 years ago, and then students from Cameroon, Congo, Central African Republic, Chad, they go there to be trained so that they can get a PhD, because in many of these countries, there is no PhD degree, sometimes not even a master degree. I will list some of the countries. You also publish successful model of interaction between scientists. You can see from this article, When Women Build Bridges. This has nothing to do with civil engineering. It's about a woman in Democratic Republic of Congo helping another woman in small Congo, right, to build the first ever nanotechnological lab in Congo. So you can imagine a whole region without a lab on nanotechnology. So you also, report on, individuals who achieve good things. It's the case of this sickle cell patient, an Ivorian young astronomer, whose vital energy is a constant competition between the deadly disease and his willingness to inspire young generation. Despite his sick, he's trying to implement an astronomical society in Ivory Coast. I can also, for example, mention another example, also initiative from people like this, what we call the Burkinabe Wizard. It's a physicist in France who has a project that aims to turn sun into water. So basically what they do is that they use photovoltaics to fabricate solar pumps and use filters to provide drinking water in the Sahelian region. You know, in that region, water is a rare commodity. It's a blue gold. Not everybody has access to drinking water. There are still some places like that. And then this kind of physicist ventures, actually, really, because they provide practical solutions. And one of the other interesting projects is what is happening in South Africa, where physicists use, nuclear physics or atomic physics to protect the poaching of rhinos, right? By introducing radioisotopes in the horns of the rhino. And then, you know, in the world, you have 8,000, sensor about radioisotope. So whenever, I think from last year ever, if you take a horn of rhino in South Africa, if you poach it and then you travel, you'll be caught because they have put some element, radioactive element there that can be detected at any border in the world, at the airports. This is thanks to a South African physicist. And there was also something interesting happened recently in Egypt, where a particle physicist sit with people doing archaeology to decode the past. So they use actually accelerators. You know, when you accelerate a particle in these circular accelerators, and then you bend them with magnets, the particle are protesting. And when they are protesting, they are emitting light. And then this light is sometimes so powerful, powerful even more than millions of suns. And this light is important in the sense that it can help you address the chemistry of fossils. So in Egypt, we are using this kind of thing to decode the past. And then because there's a lot of controversy in Egypt about Pharaoh being black and stuff like that, people are fighting all the time. So physics can bring light to this kind of problems. So it's a cultural, social problem. And then it's in principle, Africa, we have 54 states, but for the moment we are in contact, we have subscribers only for 38 countries. In Africa, we only have 16 national societies of physics. And then the African Physical Society is meeting every month to try to create societies, national societies in every country on the continent. Because in many of the countries, physics development is driven by individuals who use their personal network, to boost students to do physics. And then if you want their work to be sustainable, then we have to put them somehow together to connect them, and then so that their work should be sustainable. And then the African Physics Newsletter is doing good in that sense because it showcases what everybody is doing and everybody is meeting there on the platform, connecting and building networks. So for the moment, we have 1,000 of subscribers. And then what is not good at this stage is that only almost half is coming from Africa, 100 from South Africa, almost 100 from Cameroon, maybe because I come from Cameroon. And in the US, we have also a considerable amount of subscribers. It's intriguing in the sense that Africans themselves are not really, we still have to improve in that sense. So, but the good news also about the newsletter is that it allows us to get in contact with scientists in country where we had no clue about what's happening before, like Gabon, Chad, Somalia, or Mauritius. It's only recently that we knew even that they were physicists. But in some of these, in the other countries, we still need to know what's happening. I will take an example about Central African Republic, Eritrea, Comoros. We don't know what is happening there. And then something interesting about Somalia is that just recently, we noticed that we had the first contact with Somalian physicists. And then the political turmoil of the 90s, there was a war, civil war in the 90s in Somalia. And then this war has a dramatic consequence on the physics community there. So up till today, 30 years after, there is no physics curriculum in Somalia. So physics is only taught as a course in education curriculum or medicine or something like that. There is no bachelor, master, and PhD in Somalia. It's not the only country. There are many like that. So now to interact with decision maker, we just show you some models, successful models happening on the continent. So this is the lady in the middle there. She's a physicist by training. She was the technical advisor, the scientific advisor of the president of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Every year she organizes the Week of Science and Technology, where throughout the country, she gathers students from primary school, secondary school, university, decision makers, actors, political actors, cultural actors, or sport actors. This is, for example, the team captain of the national team of Congo. This is the most famous theater comedian in French-speaking Africa. And then I like this contact zone because it's where different cultures are meeting. And then there are different ways of diffusing science through theater, where this kind of celebrity, I mean, rent their image to science, where these kind of people come and say, no, it's not always, because soccer is a religion, not only in Congo, but also in my country. A young guy would like to play soccer instead of doing science. So he comes there to say, no, science is the best way to go. I did football. He played for Newcastle or something like that in the UK. But at the end, he realized how science is important. So they come to support this event. This is, for example, the commissioner of the African Union in charge of science and technology. So he comes there to see the reality, what is happening, how we can improve to take strategic decisions. So everybody is there, all components of the society are there, and then they talk together and see how we can make things better. So this just to show what's happening. And then I think that was a model, this is the model that should be exported all over the continent. Another way of speaking to Africa is what these 5 brilliant people did some years ago. Among these people, there are these 4 that I'm sure that they were among those who were part of the experiment through which the Higgs boson was discovered or observed. I don't know the right word. I'm not an experimentalist. And then they have been working in science paradise, I used to call it, right? And then at a certain point, they said, hey, we have to do something for Africa. We have to talk to our decision makers. So they put themselves together and then came with an African strategy for fundamental and applied physics. And then the goal of this strategy is to help decision makers to take strategic direction for physics education and research for a sustainable future. It's to mobilize African in order to define a roadmap on key initiative and to help policymakers and also international collaborator to set efficient agendas, because ICTP and many other international partners, long-term partners for physics in Africa, they have been investing a lot of time, money, and energy without always great success. So, and then how is the strategy working? It's simple. We have working group, 16 working group in different fields of physics, and where you have conveners. Conveners are experts in the field who prepare a letter of intent that's actually doing a kind of, a kind of assessment, right, in the field on the continent. I was a convener in the group of atomic physics, and then one of our tasks was to try to make an assessment of what happened in atomic physics 50 years ago on the continent. Where are the direction, where do we stand, and where should we go? And then once we do it, we pile it up in a report. At this stage, we are at the stage of an interim report. And then by the beginning of next year, we will do a final report that we will submit to the African Union, right, to tell them that these are the strategic direction, not only to the African Union, but with whoever is interested by physics in Africa. Could be PI, ICTP, American Physical Society, and so on and so forth. So this is how we talk to people, putting money and taking decisions. Now, the last part, which is actually the most complicated part, is how to speak to the public. What are the efforts of African physicists in that direction? You know, I've been involved in soft skill training. Your soft skill training are not always offered to young scientists, not only in Africa, but all over the world. But recently, many institutions have seen the importance of doing this kind of training. So because students have problems to navigate their careers because of lack of soft skills. It's not always solving the Schrödinger equation that can lead you to a successful career. should know how to interact with colleagues, how to pitch in front of funders, how to sell his research, in different environment. So in Europe, my university is part of a network called Eurora University. This is a group of universities that have the same vision of the university culture, so that we should go out of scientific research in labs and talk to the public. And usually every year we organize a masterclass on public outreach where we train the student how to sell research using various format. Usually, since I'm a communication is not always being eloquent. It's not your ability to align a series of complicated words that nobody understands. Communication is about how to get itself understood by somebody else. So there are different formats. You can be writing, speaking, or doing something else. What I do particularly is that I do movie series, movie. So I move from scientific paper to movie. So during this masterclass, this is what I teach to students. Other colleagues, they teach how to write papers, how to write proposal, how to interact with your boss, how to avoid conflicts, and so on and so forth. And then I tried to export this to Africa with the help of ICTP a year ago. We organized, for the first time after 60 years of existence of ICTP, the first training on communication, soft skill in general. And these were the topics that we addressed. So you can see that some of them include scientific presenting, writing, interacting, building, effective work culture, and so on and so forth. So this is something we plan to do again this year in Africa. This was an online course. We had 600 applicants for this, and then we took 300, hoping that the rule of thumb that you see in Zoom, usually when you organize a Zoom meeting and then 100 people, 300 people register, sometimes only 100 come. And then we thought that as we selected 300, only 100 will come. But all of them came, and this is where ICTP saw the importance of such training. And then when we saw the feedback of participants, they said, for the first time in my life, I have this kind of course. I was missing that. So the need is there everywhere in the world, not only in Africa. So I plan to continue this kind of thing. So now, something now that is booming, where the people doing communication are moving to, is mass communication, particularly massive online open courses. So I've been working for 2 months, the recent 2 months, with the European Spallation Source. You know, the biggest change to happen in particle physics will happen in Sweden soon, because we'll have the largest spallation installation where they produce neutron to study the matter. Neutron are important. For example, if I take biology, you cannot see protons with X-ray in biological systems. But if you use neutron, then you have 100% information of the system. So neutron have application in many areas, ancient life, and so on and so forth. So I realized movies with some of the experts. This is Phil Manning from University of Manchester, Carson Wells from Liverpool, Zoe from Lund, and then students also, like Christine, where they come, they talk for 5 minutes about what they do, and then we put it online. And then by doing this kind of video, we also learn the student. By showing this kind of video to students, we also train them to hold the mic, to be magnetic, inspiring, and convincing. But if you want to do this kind of thing in Africa, it's a problem. You need funding. This project was funded by the European Union. Right? I was just there to do the videos, to do the editing, the cutting, and then directing the flow of the movie. So, but if you don't have funding, personal initiatives are also welcome. This is what I do. I see it as a responsibility, right, to science. I see it as a service to science. What I do is that I do movies. Why? Because before Hollywood, before celebrity took power, Hollywood, people tend to forget that the cinema was invented by physicists, right? In 2018, I went for the APS meeting in Los Angeles, and then I went just to see this second picture here, this mountain with Hollywood. And then I was surprised to go on top of Hollywood, and I saw an observatory, the Griffith Observatory. I said, but what is this thing doing here? And then I went in and I saw that it's inside this observatory that people were studying the motion of some of the moons, where people were doing actually astrophysics. And then I questioned myself, but how come that then there was physics and then movies, what happened? I also learned that some scenes of the movie Terminator was also shooted there in this observatory. And then I started digging into history and see what is the connection between science and all these things. And then that brought me to my beloved France, right? Where actually the cinema started. Cinema was, was a mean of communication also at the time, right? Everybody, some of you may be familiar with the arrest that happened between the brother Lumieres and Edison in the US about who will be the first one to put, to make up what is this in English? Kinematograph in German, right? Kinematograph, right? This apparatus that allowed pictures to be moved and produce movies. So the brother Lumieres were two French physicists that we know that are known to be the pioneers of cinema. And cinema also had an important role into science, right? Science evidence. And one of the pioneers of scientific cinema is the French called Jean-Pierre Lévy. Jean-Pierre Lévy was a marine biologist who usually, when he was going inside the water, whenever he came back, he said, I saw this species. This is how this species is reproducing. This is how it's living. People were not believing. So he needs some proofs. So the kinematograph helped him really to show, right, the life of this species. And then what was the modus operandi for publication at this period of time? So when you had something like that, when you had a scientific evidence, and then you wanted to show it to the public, in France, you had to go to Lyon, to the Academia in Lyon, to take the authorization from the Academia to show your film to a public audience, right? And sometimes you could do it open air, or you could do it in a room using a kinematograph. This is where cinema has started, right? And then before the guys from the Hollywood industry started putting money, and then bring all kind of cinematographic genre there, like drama, comedy, Western, so on and so forth. But at the beginning, it was all about science. So this is why I said, okay, this is also an occasion to come back. We have to take back the power. We cannot admit it that scientists are clearly out of the movie industry. This is not possible. If you want to sell science, you have to go back there, particularly nowadays where we need mass education. This is why I joined the movie industry. So what I do is, why is also cinema important? I created a project. I launched a project some years ago entitled Making Science the Star, right? And then what is this project about? We aim to be the compilers between the scientist and the society. So we aim to take science and then translate it into a language that the society can understand. Non-scientific communities function exactly like computers. Computers just do what they are telling them, what you are telling them, but computers have a lot of power. They are much more powerful than human beings. It's the same with non-scientific community. This is where lies the potential to change the society. This is where we should go, because scientists, we are just a small community. So we have to look for a way to take our science and bring it to this community in a language that they can understand. Because once they understand the importance of what we are doing, we can create vocations. Somebody not doing science can advise his kids to do science. We can talk to decision makers, because particularly in Africa, most of them have no clue about science. They don't care. They don't have a scientific advisory board or stuff like that. It doesn't exist. So they are in this non-scientific community. So we have to look for a way to talk to them. So I followed the step of people like Kip Thorne, the Nobel Prize, who wrote the novel, right, Interstellar Traveling. I wrote a collection of African fiction to popularize science. So I took very sharp scientific topic that I wrote down to the level where even students from the secondary school can understand. And then I published the book in France, in Lille, in French, because I originally speak French. And then, people don't read nowadays. Only nice friends like Stel bought my book and some other people, right? And then I say I have to go a step further. I brought it to the cinema. Right, like the Lord of the Ring, they first wrote the book before they brought to the cinema. And then we have an association where we try to empower non-scientists. We have almost 100 movie professionals, script writers, directors, actors, celebrities that are engaging, exactly as they are doing in US with the climate change. Harrison Ford, Leonardo DiCaprio, they recently played the movie to promote awareness about the climate change. So this is the same path that I'm following. So the goal is obvious. We want to bring scientific knowledge to everyone's reach. And we involve celebrity who works like actually amplifiers of our message. So what we do is that we go to scientific institution like PI. Some years ago, we went to EMS. EMS, everybody knows. EMS is the creation of the former director of Perimeter Institute, Neil Turok, who had the brilliant idea to open these centers for mathematical science in Africa. So we went there because this is where they are doing the future of physics. They do quantum physics, quantum computing, machine learning, and so on and so forth. And then this is why we particularly went there to talk with the scientists. You see, this is a meeting between professionals from the movie industry and scientists. So we talk about topics that you can disseminate using movies, right? What they think is the future. And then after this meeting, we put it into movies, right, to show it to the public. Unfortunately, this project was could not follow because my friend who was the director for research there, he abandoned his position. He went to Germany. I don't know why. I don't know, but I could not hear from the director anymore. So we made a room for science in the movie industry in Africa. You can see the type of jar of scientific cinematographic jars that you can see in the movie industry. It's basically about love story, drama, comedy, and so on and so forth. So for the first time, we put science somewhere, right? This is the platform. This is the African Netflix. It's called Cinema Africa, right? You can watch the movie there. And then it was a big step in the movie industry, and I understand now why we got the Falling Walls Award in 2021, because we used this movie not only to show on this platform, but also to campaign all over Africa, not only to the public, but to campaign also in front of scientists to get these scientists out of the labs, to tell them that, hey, bro, the thing is happening outside. Get out of the lab. Come and engage with us. We need a critical mass. So we have been in several countries. You see, all the people in front are celebrities in Cameroon, in Central Africa in general. So they go, we do a screening, as we will do today. And then after that, they interact with scientists because they are the kind of mirror of the society. So from them, the scientists can understand how the society is perceiving the science that they are doing. So every actor acting in the movie, this is one who was in Congo Republic, the other one was in Benin. This guy was in Congo. This emblematic figure of cinema in Cameroon was in Burkina Faso, and then Jean-Baptiste was in Togo. And every time you try to address a particular topic. And then this is the country that we are covered, and then the one in purple is where we are invited. So now I will show you a practical example how we move from a scientific paper to a movie. I will take you the example. A subject that we addressed was about energy, biomass, environment, and sanitation. Because if some of you have already been in Africa or in a country like Cameroon, you can stay for 2 weeks without electricity. It's a normal situation. Nobody complains, right? If people want to urinate, they urinate on the streets. It's not good, but it's the reality. Skepticism about science is very pronounced, right? People perceive science so differently that I think that nowadays you will agree with me that the rest of the world is not aware of how science is perceived back there. Because a Canadian, for example, sitting here in Canada, he only sees Estelle, he will see Lavoisier and somebody else. These are elites from Africa. But what about the rest? How is science in general perceived? So this is why we tried the picture in the movie. Right? Why are they seeing science? So this, we move from a paper written by a Greek professor in England. A professor who is working in microbiology, he's using microbiological organism, and then he's trying to produce electricity from this microorganism. Right? He feeds them this organism with different type of aliment, and then try to see how he can maximize the production of energy. In Bristol, so we took the technology a technology that was developed in Bristol and published in this paper from the Royal Society of Chemistry. So it's about the P power. If you go to, I mean, big events here, I don't know the word in English, le KMS, le foire. So these big events where people gather thousands of people, usually you have mobile toilets, right? When you urinate, they use it to produce electricity and stuff like that. This is a technology that I see could be very helpful in Africa, right? These are immediate solutions that people can use. So this paper, this is the first paper that I used for my movie series, right? To show how we can have immediate solution to energy in Africa. This is a self-done solution. We don't need, I mean, the government for this kind of solution. So, as I said, it's the first episode of our movie series. So we move from this paper from this professor in England, and then I will show you how this kind of technology is perceived back home. And then the synopsis is the episode, it's just 20 minutes that I will show you. It's about a scientist, a physicist by training who could not get a job, which is a very normal, obvious situation back home, right? And then you have scientists that are running bars or restaurants because they cannot do research. They don't have, they don't have labs, they don't have even sometimes computer. Me, if I want to do computational material science in Cameroon, it's not possible. There's no light. How will you do it? You don't have a cluster. Even if Perimeter gives you a computer time here, how will you access it? The internet, the speed, even when internet is there, the speed is log of one, right? So it's a real problem. So this Kemi, he came back from abroad where he studied sharp physics, but he cannot get a job. So now he uses science and technology to make a profit, right? And then people around him don't know what he's doing. So this is a way to diffuse this kind of knowledge to the mass, and also to the decision makers. So it's just 20 minutes, and it's a kind of practical that I do with students when I have to train them during the soft skill training. So I hope you will enjoy it.
My brother, you have no customers, but your chairs are breaking.
Don't mind. Such is life.
It's Kemi. These are the effects of his witchcraft. How else can you explain a chair that doesn't carry customers getting broken just like that?
Well, I'd rather you consider the fact that this is one of the first chairs I bought when I opened this bar. It's pretty old.
Well, that's what you think. I must get to the bottom of this urine issue at Kemi's. I am tired of seeing my business fail while Kemi's business is booming.
And what if Kemi wasn't the source of our problems?
Please don't make me laugh, Kolo. I think Kemi has really bewitched you. I swear.
Listen, Kinta.
Mm-hmm.
If we worked like Kemi, if we imitated him, we would have had electricity and therefore clients. Yeah, that's true. The electricity company has been working on the transformers for like how many weeks now? Have we seen any changes? No. Are you sure electricity is going to be restored anytime soon?
As for me, I won't do what Kemi is doing.
But who's losing? We too?
Sir, just sign here. Kante, give him his beer. He has urinated 3 times already.
Okay, sir.
Kinta, what are you doing here?
As you can see, I'm on the line.
Yes, I can see. But why are you in the line?
My dear, I'm going to pee in this toilet and participate in the promo so I can also win my free beer.
Okay. Are you sure that's the only thing you're here for?
What else do you think I want?
I was just being curious, that's all. Okay, it's your turn then. You're lacking one turn. You need to drink some more.
Danga Kinta, my friend.
What a friendship. I'm out here fighting for both of us and you're stealing my customers.
Huh? Eki. What do you mean? They first stopped at your bar. But you were at Kemi's. And since your place was empty, they simply came here.
It's even better that they came here instead of Kemi's.
Yeah, that's right. So tell me, what did you discover at Kemi's?
I stood in line with the other customers who were waiting to pee and then collect points in order to win a free beer. The queue. The queue was this long, like a train.
A queue. So were you able to enter the toilet?
Sure. And I searched everywhere, but I didn't find his totem there.
Ha. So you still keep believing that he's using some kind of powers to make his business work?
Even more now. Look at me. If it wasn't for safety and hygiene protocols, I wouldn't even have toilets. But he even encourages people to pee in his toilets. What is he doing with people's urine? It's just waste. I really don't get what he could be using it for.
Myself, I don't understand. But I know Kemi to be very smart. Very smart.
That's good. You get me now. That means you agree with me that he's into magic.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't agree. I just know that Kemi's not dumb. Kemi's too smart. He can't be collecting that urine, all that waste. I mean, he's surely using it for something. Probably to generate electricity.
Abekolo. I don't want to laugh. Seriously. Transform urine to electricity. You should join a comedy club. You're funnier than Jean-Michel Cancan.
Well, okay, I'm stupid, I agree. I'm just thinking aloud. I mean, you don't need to believe me. By the way, I don't think it's really possible to use urine to generate electricity. No. No, I don't think that's possible.
These my customers. We're sharing the profits, right?
Okay.
What do you mean by what defense? But that of your lover, of course. Can you imagine it's my cousin's classmate? I met him at his place this morning. He will be a manufacturing engineer in some weeks to come.
Good for him, but he's not my lover.
Did I say he's your lover?
That's right.
That was just to disturb you. He already presented his fiancé to
you. He has a fiancé?
Be asking questions. He's even going to marry immediately after his defense. I'm sorry to announce it to you this way.
Don't worry about me. I'm very fine. I really do not envy his fiancé. You heard me very well.
Will he be unfaithful?
That would be way better. But As far as this is concerned, I really do not give a damn. If I had to be in love, I would be in love
with me, of course.
You can keep on dreaming with Kolo. What prevents me from declaring my love, gosh, is that I'm working here. Since he's our competitor. Aww, it prevents me from declaring my love.
Don't say that one more time. Don't make me angry. My salary matters to me.
Oh, Pela, who doesn't really care about his salary as well? Me too, I care about it. If not, I will not be skipping my training in hotel business to come and work here.
Anyways, you have been warned.
Hey, you two. You're supposed to be walking instead of gossiping, right?
You're right, boss.
Yes, and the bar is not even clean. What have you people been doing?
Sorry, sir.
Oh.
Hi, Kinta. Is it a new form of deco or does plants actually have another purpose on your counter?
My dear friend, you're not taking this witchcraft issue seriously, eh? Kemi is suspicious. I met with a native doctor this morning. He gave me this plant to protect myself. He told me my neighbor steals all of my customers and that yesterday he did the same thing.
Iki Azamuam. But I'm that neighbor now.
Okay. And how is it you? You and I are in the same part of Subi, or even west of Masa.
So, but analyze it yourself. Just yesterday, your frequent clients came to your bar, but at that time you were at Kemi's. So they decided to go elsewhere. It was to my place they came, and they consumed. So the person stealing your clients must be me.
You're right, eh? But it still doesn't change the fact that you and I have very few customers. Okay. I suggest you come with me to Kemi's bar so we can get back at least a part of what he has stolen from us.
Did you say get back? And how will we do that?
Wait. Come. Come and see something. Okay. Mission accomplished. I just peed and I've reached the required amount of points to win myself a bottle of beer. Bring out my prize, Kemi.
Congratulations, Kinta. Mm-hmm. She deserves it. Kante, get her a bottle of beer. Kante!
Okay, Kolo. You can also go and pee in those toilets so you'll win a bottle of beer like me.
If you want, I can see you off, Kolo.
What?
I just wanted to show you the way to the toilet.
It's obvious now. It's in front of him.
Ah, don't mind me.
I can assure you, Kolo, this girl is crazy in love with you. It's so obvious, my brother.
Aka, I won't say anything to that.
You don't need to. This girl can help us.
In what way, if I may ask?
To find out what Kemi is hiding in his toilets.
Okay. But how is that gonna help us? I don't understand.
You will understand tonight when Kemi closes his bar.
If you say so, I'll be waiting.
Thank you. I see you guys did well again today. Kudos to you.
Thank you both.
We should take advantage of the opportunity given to us by the electricity company. With this general power failure, we can make much money.
You're right, boss.
But sir, why do you say we? It's your money now.
I agree, it's mine. But imagine if business doesn't run smoothly. How do I get to pay you?
Hey, boss, with all the setting that you installed in the bathroom, it can only work.
Wait. How did you know I came up with an installment in the toilet?
I discovered it by cleaning the toilet, boss.
You, this girl.
Me?
Anyways, this stays between us.
All right, boss.
I must be the only one to possess such technology, because I invested much money and time in it.
I can imagine.
So if I get no sales revenue, it's an automatic downfall, and you guys will be unemployed.
No, boss, it's not gonna happen. Hey.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, you can go back home. Enjoy your night. Mm-hmm.
Be careful.
Leave me alone, stupid boy, villager. Kinta, I thought I would meet Kolo here. That's what you told me on the phone, right?
Yeah, but have a seat first. He went to get you some ice cream.
Oh, ice cream for me?
Of course. Who else would he make such an effort for? Not for an old hag like me anyway.
Come on, don't say that. This place is so gloomy. Since we permanently have electricity, our bar is always full, full, full.
I know. And this thing that Kemi has installed in his toilet,
Are you talking about the device that transforms urine into electricity?
So it's a device? So this pee promo of a thing is not about witchcraft?
Oh, what am I talking about? I have to go, Kinta. Good evening, Kolo.
Hi, Kesha. I bought you some ice cream. It's for you, Kesha.
What's happening to me? I'm so in love with Kolo that I almost sold out a professional secret. Wow, this is unbelievable.
If you know how I feel, just to think that I spent the last cash I had to buy ice cream for my sweetheart, but it's you who's consuming. True, no, the life no balance.
Ah, you think it's fair that we are stuck in this darkness? While Kemi is transforming urine into electricity with the help of the device installed at his place, eh?
Uh-huh, I was right.
Yeah, but you just said it like that. You weren't convincing. By the way, how is that even possible?
Do you want us to ask Kemi?
Of course, I've thought about it. He may even give us the blueprint of the device in question.
Huh? You really think he's gonna do that?
Of course not. He won't do that for anything in the world.
Ah, just as I thought.
Yue, sometimes I just want to slap you.
What do you think you're going to?
To the toilet. Is the promo over? The urine promo?
Not yet. But why are you going together?
Because Kolo asked me nicely to accompany him.
Kinta, when would I see him off myself?
Hey! Why are you taking our competitor to the toilet? You are so suspicious, Kesha.
I was just kidding. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Kinta. I'll wait for you here.
You should know he's our competitor. He may want to spoil our boss's work.
Bingo!
Donga Kinta, you took much time.
Why do you have electricity and we don't? Why don't we have the same device you've installed in your own toilets?
It's because you didn't ask for it. Hey, what am I saying? But who told you about my device?
But Kinta discovered it in the toilet, probably by chance.
Maybe. But how did she know it could convert urine into electricity?
Let's just say... I had my suspicions, but now... you've just confirmed it.
That's clear.
Okay. You got me there. It's okay.
So won't you consider installing the same device in our toilets?
Mm-hmm.
And we would agree on how to reward you.
And what if I don't agree?
In that case, I think we would manufacture the same device and place them in our toilets. Mm-hmm.
You? This is really funny. Listen, let me put it clearly so you get it straight in your mind. Do you think the size of an elephant can make him the king of the forest? Eh? Do you? Okay, try it then, if only you can.
I'm sure you'll gain even more if you decide to commercialize your invention. Hmm?
Uh-huh.
You'll get a higher return than on these drinks you're selling.
That's true. She's right.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Permit me do my calculations. I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Okay, now let me go back to my inventories, please.
Of course. We will take Olive right away.
Apparently, one of you betrayed me. I see you want my downfall. Is that it?
No, boss.
Now everyone is aware that it's thanks to urine that I produce electricity here.
How is that possible? How can urine possibly produce electricity, boss? I don't understand anything.
By your question, I can tell you know nothing. There is someone here who knows this device and its functioning. And this same person revealed my secret. Keisha.
Opens with me, boss. Oh, I'm sorry. They flattered me. I just poked it out. I didn't know they would come and search the toilet. Oh, I'm so sorry, boss.
You don't have to be sorry.
Thank you, boss.
An invention is meant to be shared with others.
You're right. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, from my little investigation and calculation, if I sell out this device, I'll make more money other than if I had to keep it to myself. And in that case, I'll be thankful to you.
You're welcome, boss.
Okay, let me give Banda a call to inform him about this.
Boss, just out of curiosity, what is the relationship between you
just
and
a
Banda?
Minute.
You
know, hold what? On, let me finish with this. Kante, please go to the coffers and get some money. You understand? I want you to get me a tin of lubricant and some bolt nuts. I have a problem with my device. When Banda comes, he'll do some maintenance work on it. There is a bolt in the device that falls off and can't be placed back easily. So we need the lubricants to fasten it in place.
Okay, sir. Sharp, sharp.
Let's go slowly. It will penetrate.
It's still not entering. You need to put some more oil or a lubricant for it.
What was your point concerning Banda and I?
No, boss. It's just that I wanted to know if you're his professional mentor. I mean, Banda.
Is that all?
That's all, boss.
Yes, I'm his professional mentor.
Ah, okay. It's okay, boss. Thank you.
One other thing I find cool is the way we presented the topic to him.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he will never even suspect it was his workers who actually gave us a clue unknowingly.
Yes, that's it. We are so good.
Yeah.
So good. Kinta, Kinta.
The urine battery. As far as the beginning of time, human beings have always made use of their waste and those of animals to ameliorate their living conditions. Recently, at the Bristol University of England, a research team has proven that we could use human urine to generate electricity. This form of electricity, commonly called urinetricity, is based on microbacterial metabolism. Let us recall that metabolism is a set of reactions, both chemical and biological, which permit human beings and animals to live, to feed, and to reproduce. The human metabolism operates as follows. When we eat or drink, our system undergoes digestion and eventually we will urinate, defecate, or fart. However, in this microbacteria, the metabolism is particular. They absorb human urine and emit current electricity. When the researchers at Bristol University made this discovery, they then filled up many glass jars containing these microbacteria and fed them with human urine, which then permitted them to stock up considerable amounts of electricity. Interestingly, the university bar of Bristol University was powered for a very long time thanks to this procedure.
So, this is what we try to do. Right, so, now I'm open to questions, whenever there is. Freddie.
Yeah. So at some point during your talk, you said that it's very hard to explain the importance of science when there are deeper problems. Right? Yeah. So how do you go and actually explain the importance?
Okay. The point is that you cannot go frontally, right? To people taking decision. I think nowadays it's better to take a social political approach. So you come with the people, because nowadays with social media, mass communication, sometimes this is what makes pressure on people taking decision. So the more you have people, the majority of the population with you, right? Particularly in African countries, there's this new phenomenon called influencers. Right? Influencers are people that really amplify the diffusion of information. Right? And then you find them either in movies, industries, celebrities, and stuff like that. So this is a softer approach than writing, complaining, or stuff like that. If you complain, for sure, you are complaining in front of a wall. Right? Usually it's better to have soft approach. Right. And it's something that takes time, but we should start from somewhere. So it's by multiplying science-spreading actions, right, that we break, the wall between we and people taking decisions. Right. And then I think the power lies in the people. Right. It's like democracy. Once they see the importance, things will change. Right. Particularly in country that where you find Omerta, it's not only on the political point of view. You saw the Arab Spring, all these political leaders, in 2 months of three, they were all down, Tunisia, Egypt, and stuff like that, Libya. It always starts from the people. When the people see something, the people see hope for the future. So they always drive the phase transition. Right? So we need to achieve the right social temperature and the critical pressure on decision makers. We need to reach that critical point. And then the model that we need to develop is the social political model. So population making pressure on politics. And that comes smoothly, right? It's a phase transition that takes time to happen.
Even harder is what Abdul Salam was trying to do, right? Because it's not only science, because with science you could still try to communicate the importance like But if you try to restrict to theoretical physics, it's even more challenging.
Yes. So, in fact, this is why in this we did not only physics, but chemistry, biology, everything. Also, philosophical or social aspect of science, like skepticism, denialism of science, it's really pronounced in developing countries, right? And this is also the social aspect of science that we should cure. We saw it during COVID, right? People believing in herbs instead of drugs and stuff like that. So, the spectrum is very large. Right? And when there is funding, there's always the power to do many things. But first, getting funding for such thing is not obvious. Somebody will not give you money for such thing instead of funding a 3 years position for a PhD, right? But we definitely need these kind of things. Otherwise, the world is just... I can come to your office and we talk more, right?
So I appreciate the fact you're trying to change, I guess, encourage science culture through these movies. Mm-hmm. What's not clear to me, who's the target audience? Yeah. How do they see these movies?
Yes. The target audience is non-scientific communities, right? And then you see, this is typically, we have really pictured how science is perceived in these communities. These communities are larger. And then this is the target are these people who have nothing to do with science. It's,
okay, but how do they see the movies? Like, how do they?
Yes, so that's the good point. We first did another movie before where we came directly with science. So we showed labs and stuff like that. When you bring directly equations and labs, people are shocked because they are not used to it. So we went, we wanted to go gradually, right? First bring, the social aspect of science, the conception of scientific research and what we can do with science, right? So the philosophical accept, the cultural, you see, in this movie, they are different axes. So the cultural perception of science, because it's a shock of culture also sometimes, right? If you go some places, you cannot say to some people that a drug is better than a plant that is eating to get cure. So you have to bring it smoothly to him and tell him that, no, you have to believe in science. This is where lies the reality. So it's this kind of community that we target. Because even during the political elections, these are the community who put people on power. Because these are the community towards which politicians are going. Sometimes they bribe, right, to get voted, right? So these are the community that we should educate.
I think you were talking about platforms. So
yes.
Sorry, I can't hear.
I think you were talking about the platforms where people...
Yeah, how does somebody actually watch the movie?
Ah, sorry, yeah. Then I didn't get it. So the movie is available. You know, when you do something like that, you sell it to televisions, right? And then television gets the copyright for 1 or 2 years, sometimes 6 months, sometimes 3 years. So you don't have the right to put it on YouTube. So the most efficient way to produce such things is to have funding for public outreach, right? If you don't have it, and then you invest some third party, you had some third party money, people want to recover their money. So they would not allow you to just put it on YouTube and then they get nothing. So I had to fight to sell it, to place it on some proximity TVs in Africa so that the target audience also can follow. And another thing, we cannot put it in also very prestigious platforms like Netflix, for example. Why? Or Canal Plus, the biggest distributor in Africa for movies is a French platform called Canal Plus. There it's very elitist. They clearly told me when I went with them that your movie is too elitist for the population of Africa. You see, you cannot buy it because if you put it, people will not understand. People have nothing to do. They don't care about science. We cannot, get a good audience, right, out of it. So if you put it there, first, there's this problem. Secondly, people will not have money to watch the movie. People that you're targeting in Africa, because you need to have a contract. You need to pay a subscription for a year, which is not accessible to everybody there. So this is why we went to proximity TVs. You know, in Africa, there are two ways to watch TV. Either you watch it on satellite, on platform, or you people use cables also. Cables walking in the air, then passing in the air, and then they put it behind the TV, and then they watch it. So, and then since we target this kind of people, this is why we distributed it also in these proximity TVs. But if you bring it to Netflix, I don't know, Netflix, 2 years ago, Netflix bought a TV show from Cameroon. And then they said they will not buy another TV show from Cameroon. Why? Because when they put the movie on the platform Netflix, nobody from Cameroon watched the movie. Because they can see the statistics, right? If you download it from Cameroon or you watch it from Cameroon, they can see. And then they were surprised that they buy Nigerian movies or all kinds of South African movies, and then people watch it from South Africa and Nigeria. But in the case of Cameroon, they barely had 100 people watching it. So they don't see the importance of, buying products coming from there. Nice. But what I do is that I also give it to institutions who are interested in outreach and stuff like that as a contribution service to science.
Great.
Hopefully in a couple of years I will put it on YouTube for free.